Now, returning again to the Gospel of Mark, to the passage that we read together, and we're going to give our consideration this afternoon to the verses at the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 35, down to the end. And with God's help, now in prayer, let's seek our Savior's blessing for the message of the Gospel this afternoon. Father, we come again to thy precious word. Thy word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy truth shall never pass away. So we pray that these words may be written upon our hearts, that we might consider the wonderful word of God, the message that it contains for us. And may we find joy even in the scriptures of truth this afternoon. Joy that invigorates and strengthens, gives us courage and hope. We pray that in all things that thy great name is glorified. Bless this word to us now, we pray. Amen. Amen. The words from verse 35 to 41 really bring to a conclusion a long day of ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. A long and difficult day. He had sat in a ship just pushed off a little from the shore as the multitudes gathered around him, and he used that little ship as his pulpit, and he spoke to the people that gathered. Multitudes had come to hear him. Now that the day is over, he gathers his disciples together and instructs them to bring him across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when darkness fell, the disciples were making their way across that little lake, headed for the other shore, and the Savior is asleep in the rear of the ship, weary from the business of the day. Now, many of those men were used to being on the Sea of Galilee at night. Many of them were, of course, fishermen by trade. But some of the events that will occur this night will change their lives and their perception of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're going to find themselves in the midst of a storm, perhaps the greatest storm that they ever encountered. And they're going to witness and experience the Lord's power and his ability to deliver them. There is a sense in which we are all involved in a journey. We are headed for the other shore, if you like, sailing towards an unseen port. And as we sail, storms will arise and tempests will toss our little vessels. And sometimes we're tempted to think that the storms that we encounter are going to destroy us. But I want you to see from this passage this evening that these storms aren't sent to destroy but to develop, because we're going to learn more about our Savior even as we find ourselves in the midst of the storm. So I want us to begin this evening in verse 37 and consider, first of all, the coming of the storm. The coming of the storm. As the Savior and his disciples sail across the Sea of Galilee that night, they find themselves in the midst of this terrible storm. And we read in verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." I want you to notice the suddenness of this storm. "There arose a great storm of wind." Now, in our day and time, weather can be predicted with a fair amount of accuracy. Science and meteorology, the use of satellites and other means enable weather forecasters to generally be accurate when they are predicting the weather. They're not perfect, but they do give a good guide. In the case of the Sea of Galilee, a storm can arise very suddenly and often without warning. The sailors might look up and see a bright blue sky above them and consider the calm weather to be perfect for sailing. And as they set forth, all might be well, yet within a matter of minutes, they could be fighting for their lives in the midst of a storm. Storms are very common on the Sea of Galilee. And that's because that lake is quite an unusual body of water. It's relatively small. It's 21 kilometers long, 13 kilometers wide, and has a maximum depth of 50 meters. But the shoreline is 214 meters below sea level, and that has tremendous impact upon it. Because it's below sea level and is surrounded by mountains on all sides, it becomes very susceptible to sudden storms. The wind sweeps across the land, comes up over the mountains, it creates downdrafts upon the lake. Combine that with a thunderstorm that might appear on the horizon, and the water can be stirred up quite significantly into violent waves. So if you can imagine a teacup with its high sides and your tea in the cup, and take a spoon and give it a stir, and you can witness the turbulence on the surface of your tea. Well, something similar happens in the Sea of Galilee. The wind blows down upon the lake and begins to stir it up, and violent waves and storms can be quite significant. So the sea can be calm one moment and violent the next. And these storms typically happen during the day, not necessarily so much at night. So as they set out upon the Sea of Galilee that night, in all likelihood they weren't expecting a storm, but one came anyway. That's what happens in life. Things can be going fine one moment, and the next the bottom falls out of your world. One moment you might be enjoying the fair weather and the bright sunshine, and yet in the next moment you can find yourself in the middle of a terrible storm. And we're told that this storm arose, a great storm of wind. We know what that's like. One telephone call, one 24-hour period of time, one visit to the doctor's office, one tick of the clock, and there you are in the midst of a storm that you hadn't anticipated. Storms will come our ways. The Lord Jesus indeed promised his disciples that in this world we will have tribulation. And someone once said that you are in one of three places today. You're either in a storm, you're either coming out of a storm, or you're headed towards a storm. But there are storms on our horizon. Now the disciples found themselves in the middle of the storm. Men who had been chosen by the Savior to be his disciples, who were as close to the Son of God as it was possible for a man to be. They were with him in the same ship in which he travelled, and yet the storm shows no favouritism. It reminds me that Christians are not immune to the storms of life. Sometimes there is this idea being perpetuated that if you're close to the Lord and walking in fellowship with him, that you're in some kind of protective bubble, that nothing can happen to you. You go to church every Sunday, you tithe, you read your Bible, you pray, bad things shouldn't happen to me. And that's the mentality that's been put out today by some. I wish I could tell you that was true, but experience shows me very much that it's not the case. There are times when we will find ourselves in the midst of a storm, perhaps for no reason of our own, Nothing that we can point to as being a reason for the storm. Being a Christian does not make us exempt from these storms. They come upon the good as well as the evil. They come to the saved as well as the lost. And they can come suddenly, just like this storm. There arose a great storm of wind that came suddenly. Notice also the severity of the storm. It was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This is a severe storm. So severe, in fact, that the seasoned fishermen are frightened by the power of the storm. The ship is rocking and railing on the waves. They're taking on water. They are afraid that the ship is about to sink. The fact that the storm is in the nighttime as well, they cannot see where they are. They don't know how close they are to shore. They can't see any of the other ships that are round about them. They are in terrible danger, and they are afraid for their lives. In fact, they say in verse 38, "We perish. We're dying. We're going down." When storms come to our lives, not only do they come suddenly, but they can be severe. They can cause us great anguish and pain and suffering. We know all about those storms. Storms of suffering. Storms that blow into our lives and devastate us with heartache and heartbreak and trouble and turmoil. One problem arising after another, and it seems that we are being buried in a blizzard of affliction. Storms of suffering and storms of sorrow. When a loved one gets called away by death, and you're left grief-stricken, and you're shaken to your very core with the loss that has been suffered. Sorrow touches every life. The Lord Jesus is in the boat with them, and yet they are afflicted with a great storm. Sometimes it's a storm of sin. When sin enters the heart, it always comes with a pleasant, calm breeze and promises the best, but soon a darker side is revealed. And the storm of sin rips through our lives, leaving a trail of damage and destruction that can only be repaired by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His forgiving power. Storms come, and they come suddenly, and they come with severity, and they bring fear and anxiety and pain. I want you to know that there's no storm upon earth that our Savior cannot calm. No storm. I want to suggest something else to you about this storm that came upon them. The source of the storm. Where did the storm come from? It may simply have been a natural occurrence. Changing of the weather. Maybe the air pressure dropped or rose. Could have been a naturally occurring event. The Sea of Galilee, as we've mentioned, is susceptible to such storms. However, this storm came at night, and that, I'm told, is extremely rare. Could it be that God sent the storm with the very purpose of teaching these disciples to trust in the Lord Jesus no matter what their circumstances? That's possible. Others have suggested that the storm could have been satanic in its origin. And their reason for that is when the Lord Jesus calmed the storm in verse 39, that we're told that He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." Peace, be still. What's the significance of that? Well, if you turn back a few pages in your Bible to the chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, we find there the Lord Jesus dealing with a very difficult situation. Verse 23, "And there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace. And come out of it. And the phrase that's translated, hold thy peace, is the same phrase that's translated, peace be still, when the Savior spoke to the storm. The word simply means being muzzled. The idea behind it is of muzzling a violent animal. The Lord Jesus commanded the demons to be quiet and the storm to be at peace. The same expression used. So perhaps the storm was an attempt by Satan to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and to drown the disciples. The Bible doesn't tell us the source of the storm, but it's worth considering. Because the storms in our lives can come from various sources. Sometimes the storms can be our own fault. We do things that get us into trouble, and we have to pay the price. And if you don't believe me, then go home and read the book of Jonah, and tell me that the storm that came upon him in the boat that he travelled in wasn't because of his disobedience. It was. Sometimes we bring about our own storms. Sometimes it's God who sends the storms. And you're thinking, well, why would God do that? Well, sometimes it's to discipline us. Because, like Jonah, we are on our way from God, and God would draw us back to himself. He sends the storm to teach us to trust him more deeply. That was certainly the case with Job and all that he was forced to endure. God allowed the storm in his life to draw Job closer to himself. I heard the story of a little boy who had a toy boat. And as he was sailing that toy boat on a little pond, the boat got a little too far from him, beyond his reach. So the little lad, being very clever, reached down and picked up some stones and some small rocks, and he threw them beyond the boat into the water in order to create a wave that would bring the boat back again to shore, until eventually it was within reach and he reached down and brought the boat to himself. There are times when the Lord will send the storm to bring us back to himself. Other storms in our lives can be satanic in origin. When Satan will whip up a storm in an attempt to defeat us, to drive us from the Lord, to destroy us and our testimony and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a very real enemy that's seeking to destroy the children of God. How good it is to have a Savior who can muzzle the storms that come. So we see the coming of the storm. Then I want you to notice, secondly, the doubts that arise in the midst of the storm. The greatest storm that night was not found in the wind and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, but in the hearts of the disciples. The storm of the sea has whipped up a storm of doubt within their hearts. And while the storm was raging around them, they look and see the Lord Jesus asleep in the back of the ship, and they run to waken him, and they cried unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care about us? What a terrible accusation to level at the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not care about us? course he cares. But they're terrified, and it seems that they've lost all hope of surviving the storm. They've done all that they can, and still they're sink. They doubt the Saviour cares for them. Carest thou not? Don't you care about the things that we're facing? Why this doubt? When you read through the opening chapters of Mark's Gospel, you'll have seen how they've already witnessed the Saviour being victorious over devils, over diseases, over depravity. They've seen the Saviour victorious in every circumstance. They've witnessed the miracles that he's performed. Now that they're faced with a storm, they are afraid. They should have known that a little puff of wind over the Sea of Galilee could not change or thwart the sovereign omnipotence of God. Do you know what their problem was? They're looking at the situation rather than looking at the Saviour. They've got their eyes on the wind and the waves, and they've forgotten the one who is able to speak the words to be peaceful and be still. But before we go too hard on them, we should consider our own hearts and think of the many times that the storms have been raging there, and where we too have questioned God's concern. Maybe we haven't expressed it in the same way as the disciples did. Maybe we haven't cried out loud, "Lord, do you not care about us?" But is that not what we've thought in our hearts? "Lord, do you not care about the things that are happening to me? Do you not see the events that are occurring? Do you not see how my heart is broken? The doubts that assail me and the cares that I carry, Lord, are these things nothing to you?" Yes, he cares. He cares more than you could ever know. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Hebrews tells us. He cares about us. And I tell you something more, he's already doing something about the situation. And even though we might not always be aware, we dare not question the reality of our Saviour's care for us. Of course he cares. They doubted his care. They doubted his commitment to them. "We perish," they said. "We perish." Now remember something. It was the Lord Jesus who asked them to take them in their boat across to the other side. It was the Saviour who sent them out in the first place. These men who had left everything to follow the Saviour. And now he has led them into a situation that seems so dangerous and so fraught with care and concern. They are afraid that the Saviour is just going to let them die. That's foolish. We're not saved by the Lord Jesus Christ just to be abandoned by him when the going gets tough. He's absolutely committed to each and every one of his children. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. We need not fear perishing outside of his control. We will never be deserted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the storm is raging and the boat is rocking and reeling and the winds are blowing against us, the waves are crashing into our vessel, we will not sink, because our Saviour upholds us in every circumstance. We perish. No, you don't. This is the Lord who has brought you to this situation. And it is he who will bring you through. He loves his church. He gave himself for his church. He will not suffer you to be lost or perish. They doubted his care and his commitment. They doubted his comments, His word to them. The Lord Jesus had said, let us pass over onto the other side. The Savior's already told them what's going to happen. We're going to the other side. The journey starts. They make their way across the lake. They're believing His word. They should have shouted in the face of the storm. The Lord has said, we're going to the other side. What can hinder the word of God? Do not doubt the word of Christ. We take it at face value. We believe it with all of our hearts. The Lord has already promised us that everything will be well with our souls. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He has promised to take care of us. Our Father in heaven knows the things that we have need of, even before we ask. If we could simply learn to take Him at His word, we could face the storms of life without fear, knowing that we are with the One who controls the storm. So we see the coming of the storm and the doubts that arise in the midst of the storm. Notice finally the calming of the storm. They awaken the Lord Jesus from His sleep. They come with all their doubts and fears. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. As they awaken the Savior and watch Him at work, they learn something about the power of the Lord. This storm that had so terrified them, that had frightened them, this storm poses no problem to the Savior. He rebukes the wind. He speaks to the sea. And when He does, the winds fall silent and the sea becomes like a sheet of glass. The One who could so easily heal the sick and cast out devils has perfect control over the storms. The Savior's power has not been diminished. His power is the same today as what it was yesterday. The storm is no problem for Him. He can silence it with a word if He so desires. Now it may be that He will allow the storm to rage a while longer. But if that be the case, then you rest assured in the fact that He is able to protect you in the midst of the storm. Look at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Refusing to bow before the golden image, cast into a fiery furnace. That's quite a storm to endure. And yet what did they witness as they looked down into the flames? But one like unto the Son of Man who came alongside them. Think of Daniel cast into the den of lions that they expected to be a storm of blood and flesh being torn apart. But the Lord stood with them. If the storm remains, look for the presence of the Lord. Find peace and calmness in the knowledge that He will not forget you nor forsake. Learn about the power of the Lord. He is able to speak the words, peace and be still. Learn about the promises of God, that the Savior will do exactly as He has promised. Look at the first verse of chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea. Just as He had said, let us go over onto the other side, He said in verse 35. By verse 1 of chapter 5, they go to the other side of the sea. His word is true. He will do what He has promised. Learn to trust the promises of God. Trust in His promises. Trust in His power. Look for His presence. The Lord is with them in the vessel. they are already at an advantage. Verse 36 tells us that there were other little ships. Who knows how many other boats there were on the sea that night? But only one of them had the Lord of Glory in the vessel with them. Out of all the boats that were on the Sea of Galilee that evening, that was the place to be. In the boat with the sea. That boat that set sail, that carried the Lord Jesus Christ. Other little vessels that followed. I assume that they too were caught up in the storm. But the difference is that they didn't have the Savior on board. Not the way that the disciples had. Now, he may have been sleeping, but nonetheless, his presence was with them. The Lord was present. Oh, be ever thankful that the Lord is present even when you go through the storms of life. He witnesses these things alongside you. Learn about his power. Learn about his promises. Learn about his presence. Learn about his purposes. The storm taught these men a lesson that they could never have learned any other way. It would be nice to think that they would simply have believed him after seeing the wonderful miracles that he had performed in the earlier chapters, that they could have taken the things that the Lord has done for others and applied these things to their own lives. They could have said, you know, we know that if the Lord Jesus can heal a leper and cure Peter's mother-in-law and cast out devils, and that guy that had the palsy and forgive him his sins, I'm sure he can take care of the storm. But they were very slow to process that information, to apply it to their own lives. And so the storm comes to teach them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way they're going to learn this lesson. What about us? We have the Bible, the complete Word of God. It tells us all of the things that God has done, all of the things that he can do. We've got the testimony of the various Bible characters recorded in these pages. We've got the life and testimony of those who are around us. We have seen what the Lord can do for them. Wouldn't it be great if we could just trust him and apply those lessons to our lives also? But we're slow to do that. And sometimes the storms come to teach us lessons that we are unwilling to learn any other way. I wonder when they arrived over at the other side and came into the country of the Gadarenes, as chapter 5 tells us, when they saw the man possessed of the devil, I wonder, did they now doubt that the Lord was able to do something there? Or did they have a sense now of the ability of the Lord that doubting was no longer an option? Or when they saw Jairus come seeking help for his daughter, and even when the little maid had died and word came, I wonder, did they say to themselves, you know what? I still think he can take care of this situation. I still think our Savior can calm this storm. I wonder, did the storm increase their faith, causing them to believe that no matter what the circumstances, that the Savior was in control? The storm would bring peace to their hearts. Previously they were fearful, fretting. What's the Lord doing? Why is he sleeping? And with the peace that's brought to the wind and to the waves, there's a peace that's brought to their hearts also. Our Savior's in control. Is it any wonder they ask the question, what manner of man is this? The one who controls everything. I know as I look down here this afternoon, I know that there are some that are in the midst of storms. I know that there are some that are just coming out of storms. I know that there are some that are storms on the horizon. But I also know that you know there's one who can still the storms. One who can bring peace to our hearts, who can comfort our souls, who can give encouragement even in the most difficult of circumstances, who can still speak the words, "Peace, be still," and calm the storm that rages within our hearts. I trust that you will know the presence of the Lord in your vessel. The little children sing that with Christ in the vessel we can smile at the storm. He brings a peace that no other can bring. He comes with power that no other possesses. Oh, that we might have the Savior with us. And then the vessel of our heart, that we might know the Savior's presence and the peace that He alone can bring. May the Lord give us encouragement that no matter the storm that we encounter, that we have a Savior who is more powerful than any wind or wave that blows. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the words that we've read this afternoon from thy precious truth, for the promises and the hope that they bring to us, that even in the midst of the storms of life, that we have a Savior whose power and ability to calm the storm is without doubt. Oh, that we might learn to take thee at thy word, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that we will never perish when we are in him, and that might we ever learn to trust, to know that we are on a journey that brings us across to the other side, and we shall be brought in safety and in security, brought into the very harbour of God, to an eternity in thy presence. Lord, speak to us through thy word, we pray, and bring comfort and joy to our hearts. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen.